Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
It's time to go, whether that's to the nations or whether that's to the neighborhood. Because every nation has neighborhoods, right? I want to read to you tonight from Matthew chapter 28 to set up our topic of conversation tonight is this, Matthew 28, 18. And Jesus came to them and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Jesus is saying this post his death, burial and resurrection. And in him saying this, he's literally saying, "I have reinstated authority back to you as mankind." And his next sentence is this: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Poke the person on the other side of you and say, "It's time to go to the neighborhood and the nations." Come on. You know, it's a beautiful season we find ourselves in. This is week three of our missions focus. First week we had everyone can pray. Everyone can give was the second week. And today is everyone can go. You know, it's beautiful because I think when Jesus said this to his disciples, it wasn't if you go. It's when you go. And I think a lot of us sometimes will make excuses for ourselves around the idea that that's just left to the professional Christians. You know, the ones that are on team, or the ones that are in staff, or like the professional ones. You know, the ones that know what they're doing. Oh dear. You know, the reason I laugh at that is because I know myself that the reality of this for every single believer, there is this tension that the enemy comes in with opposition because he doesn't want the gospel to be advanced. Because if the gospel's not advanced, the kingdom doesn't advance. If the kingdom doesn't advance, it ceases to exist. That would be his ideal. But God's purpose and intent is that the good news of the gospel would make its way out to the nations of the world. Who's grateful that the gospel made it to you? I'm so thankful that the gospel came from all the way over, from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth where I find myself today. I'm grateful. But the reality is, if we don't go, they won't know. And if they don't know, then they can't share with somebody else. And the reality of it is, it stops with you and I if we just get happy in a clappy club on a Sunday. And we can't afford to allow ourselves to become consumer-driven Christians where we check in and check out a church, but that we actually become people who want to contribute to the kingdom of God being advanced and allowing ourselves to be used by God to reach our neighborhoods. Do you know that the Lord has placed you exactly where he wanted you to? The Bible says that he is the one who ordains our steps. He is the one who sets our time on this earth in a time and space and place. And he positions us with people around us that he wants us to reach. Every single one of us has a neighborhood. You will meet people that I will never meet. And the Lord put you there. And it's this idea that there is a message to be taken to a world that desperately needs it. And it's not so much just about come and see or come to church, but it's let me represent Jesus and the kingdom of God to you and bring heaven to earth. Poke the person next to you on the other side of the other side and say, "You know what? God wants to bring heaven to earth through you." He does. See, the reality of nations having neighborhoods means that everybody has a group of people that the Lord has given to them. Whether that's your hairdresser, whether that's your running club, your book club, whether that's the soccer group that you take your kids to and you as a parent are engaging with a sphere of influence of people who may or may not know Jesus. The Lord has placed you and the times of your life for the here and now to reach people who are far away from him. So whether that's your gym, your book club, your run club, your dog club, your cat club, your darts group, your football club, your soccer club, your basketball club, the Lord has placed you in a people group that need to know Jesus. And missions is not about just what we do overseas in sending people over and saying, yeah, you go. You go. We'll support you. Here's our money, you go. It's actually, no, where are you going? Where are you going? It's this beautiful picture of where the Lord has sent you. And I think about it like this. You heard of the Engel scale? Everyone just give me a wave if you've heard of the Engel scale or if I'm speaking French. Okay, maybe let's go the other way. If I'm speaking complete, utterly not English to you right now when I say Engel scale, give me a wave. All right, so many. Okay, so here's what the Engel scale is. Let me help you understand what it is. It's this idea that helps people to understand where people are at on the journey of faith. All right? Are you familiar with it now? Anyone? Okay, we're getting there. So let's say that this pulpit represents the point in which somebody meets Jesus, okay? And this side over here represents someone who has no idea that there is even a God. And then on this side over here, all the way at this end, we have a fully mature believer. Does that make sense? Now, there are steps at which people take to get from there to here. And often what you and I think is that we just have to get people from there to here automatically. It's like, you don't know Jesus, let me tell you about Jesus, let me get you a point of decision. But in actual fact, the Lord is only looking to take someone to their next step. The next step for them might be an awareness of God because you said Jesus loved him. The next step might be that you are able to picture to them that Jesus came, lived and died, and it's this one step closer. Do you know that? I think it's crazy. We set the church up to do one thing. We set the church up to do from here onwards. We set up, we do life groups, we do groups that'll help them, we do groups that'll teach you how to live, teach you how to be a Christian, to get to the point where you get to fully mature, a fat cow chewing on grass, and maybe no good for a world that desperately needs Jesus. Right? And I think what we do is we forget, actually, that crew that I go running with on a Saturday morning that don't know Jesus, that is my life group. That is the people group, my neighborhood that the Lord has called me to reach. Maybe that dog park that I go to and see the same people every week, they're the people, my neighborhood, that the Lord has called me to reach. What am I doing in that space to go to them with this good news? How can they believe if they have not heard? How can they hear if no one will go? The reality is, it's not left to the elite or the professional Christian. It's left to every believer. And you know what the beautiful thing about this is? If you know Jesus and you're here, that's awesome. The idea is that you go to full maturity. But the reality is, you're already 10 steps in front of the other people that are here. You don't have to be fully mature theologian, doctorate in ministry or theology over this end to share Jesus. You actually just need to be one step in front of the person who you're talking to. And in actual fact, take the pressure off yourself. You're probably 10 steps because some don't even know that there is a God. And so the Lord has given you a place of influence that he wants you to occupy. And for some of you that will be, you'll be sent to go overseas and go to the nations. And for others of you that will be your next door neighbor, the person in your club, the person in your group, it'll be something of that in which leads from neighborhoods to nations. Who's to say the person you don't lead ends up being, from your neighborhood, ends up being someone who goes to the nations and leads multitudes to Jesus? You don't know what the Lord's asked you to be a part of. The only thing that's required of us is that we would go. So today we're talking about all things when we go. Not if, but when. And so to do that, we're going to introduce to you our panel tonight. And we're going to have a great conversation. You're going to hear a little bit about some of our guests today. They're actually more than guests. They're actually a part of our house. They're a part of the family of God, and we've supported them for a number of years. Steve and Maylin Windham are one of the couples that are joining us tonight. Incredible couple doing great things in Europe. You're going to hear more about that. We've got Phil and Barb Caruana, who have just lived a lifestyle of mission, done a mission trips here and there, but like live on mission. And then on top of that, we've got Amy. So could you give them a round of applause as they come and join me? Come on, that's it. Now, for all of you who have come here tonight, maybe you weren't here last week, but last week we handed out these Everyone on Mission, our Pneuma magazine, to do all things mission and things that are happening across the world as a result of your contribution in giving, your contribution in praying. I was going to say paying. Praying. We pray, we give, and we go. But we've gone over this for the last couple of weeks. If you've missed it, we'd love to get one of these into your hands. It actually unpacks with you all of our mission partners across the world, both internationally, globally, and within Australia. We have people on mission that we support and what they're doing to take the good news of the gospel to the ends of the earth, to the nations of the world. And so what we want to do today is put that into your hand. It gives you an update, gives you results of what's happened as a result of your giving. It also gives you an update on how you can pray for them specifically in their space and where they occupy. But not only that, it comes with a little slip. And this little slip is designed for you to be able to determine, you know what, if I'm going to give to missions this year, I want to be able to contribute and be a part of what God is doing and what he's done and what I believe he's going to do for the future. And you can be a part of that with a one-off gift or with a regular donation. If you're anything like me, I've set up PushPay. It's a simple system and process. I've designated a certain amount per month. And literally, I know that those dollars are going to make a difference. And I tell you, it's great to be able to read the difference that they're making. Whether it's small or whether it's a lot, it makes a difference. And when we get to heaven, the Lord's not going to look at us and be like, well, welcome to the cozy spot on the cozy cloud with Cupid. He's going to say, hey, well done, good and faithful servant, with what I gave to you to do. Amen? So you can be a part of that. And right now, we're going to get into our panel. So thank you guys for joining me. We had a great conversation this morning, and it was just beautiful. These guys have been here in our morning service this morning, and just being able to hear their story and where the Lord has taken them over in Europe. And so, Steve, maybe if you just want to kick us off, and just so the people that are here tonight that weren't here this morning can actually hear about where you are, what you've done, and what the Lord's doing through your ministry.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that there's not a cozy cloud with Cupid.
Oh, sorry to blow that out of the water on you.
Just need to catch my breath there. And anyway, there's one disappointment for tonight. So, we have been working in Europe for a number of years now. In fact, we started working in Europe in 1992. And from 1992 through to today, we've been involved in leadership development and church planting and some short-term mission stuff earlier in those years. From 2012 onwards, we have been full-time missionaries with Australian Christian Churches International. And Pneuma Church has partnered with us for most of that time as well, which has been an incredibly meaningful partnership for us and a very helpful partnership for us. So thank you. You're a great mission church. If I was to summarise what it is we do, we train leaders who plant churches. Leadership development in and of itself is meritorious work. Like, there's a lot of merit in that. But in a European context, we feel if that leadership development is not leading to church planting expressions, then somehow we are contributing to that sense of, well, you're just adding to what already exists rather than pioneering and expanding the kingdom. So Europe is a massive massive mission field. And we largely do that through establishing church planting networks. We work with key churches in regions, in major cities with nominations, and we establish training networks that help to facilitate church planting and leadership development. So that's kind of what we do in Central Europe. So Germany, Czech Republic, Poland, Austria, Slovakia a little bit, some other places from time to time, but mostly those Central European nations. Yeah.
And just so you are aware, Pastor Wayne, our senior pastor, he has just gotten back from 5 weeks of travelling around Europe and actually visiting the works that Stephen Maylin have done over in Europe. And he sings your praises. He just said, you are the unsung heroes. You're known over in Europe really well. Like everywhere they go, everyone knows you. But in Australia, you're not that well known in respect to the work that you've done, and you should be. You are heroes of the faith that are deserving of being celebrated for what you have sown and what you have done in the nations of the world through actually raising up church planters. It's one thing to go and do a work of mission in a space, in a place, but it's another thing to start a movement of people. And we just honour you guys. We celebrate the fact of what you've done. We're so grateful. But maybe, Maylin, if you could maybe like speak to us just a little bit about the role, obviously, that you've played over there in Europe, but also just how that you've obviously had kids and they've rolled through in their adult stages and things like that now, and they're doing ministry. But how did you cultivate the missional lifestyle within your kids that has now rolled over into greater fruitfulness and in greater inheritance in the days to come?
Sure. Look, we travelled a lot for a young family, and we took our kids with us. And one of the things in taking, you know, young children with you is having well-disciplined young children. It makes it way more doable. You can travel with them. And so for creating that missional heart, for us, one of the most important things is developing self-denial in our kids. Mission is all about thinking of others before yourself. It's about denying yourself for somebody else's well-being and that hope that they will have what you have in Jesus. And so to be intentional with our children from a very young age was really important to us, to teach us what it is to understand the word no and obey it. And you can do that with kids from a really young age, just being very practical. I know so many of us, when we have little kids, the first thing we think to do is make our house child safe, and we lift things up so they can't reach them and lock the doors and drawers. But actually somebody taught us to don't do that. Teach your children how to obey no. No, you can't open that drawer. No, you can't have that. No, you can't touch that. And when you teach them from a young age, it gives them a disciplined heart, and it helps them when things don't go their way, when they can't have their favourite things. They're okay on the inside with, no, I can't actually do that. That self-denial is a natural part of who they are. And going on mission and being okay about going overseas and the sacrifices and not being with your friends and family, not having a great church environment, all that, you can deal with that if you have a disciplined heart that is familiar with obedience and, you know, being told, no, you can't have your favourite things all the time in life. And that really helped our children on the mission field, and just that culture in our family was, I'm so thankful for the people who taught us how to do that with our kids, yeah.
And just in respect to, okay, your young adult children now are living life on mission, what would you say to the young adults who are here in the room around how do they become more missional in the day-to-day life that they live?
Look, I think one of the most beautiful things is that to be thinking and praying for people around you and seeing them as God sees them, and asking God to show you who they are and what they need. And for us, one of the most incredible tools that we have used in reaching people who don't know Jesus and reaching young people and using other young people to reach young people is just simple hospitality. Just welcoming people into your world, just welcoming them into your home, just taking them out for a coffee. We planted a church in England, and I had a team of people of all ages and taught them how to do hospitality, and the people who were the most successful, in fact, the most fruitful, were the young people, the teenagers, the 18, 19, 20-year-olds. The church was built on their hospitality. And it's so easy just to invite someone for a coffee. It was a weapon in our arsenal almost, just to be hospitable, to love people, to be interested in their lives and to pray for them and walk with them on a journey to find Jesus.
Yeah. That's so good. It kind of reminds me of Jesus and Lazarus. Called him out by name, yeah. Brought him down from the tree and said, hey, I'm coming over to hang out with you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Come on. Yeah. I think sometimes we overcomplicate the idea of what we think mission looks like. I mean, if I sat here today and said to you, to go on mission means that you need to open your home and have dinner, some of you would be looking at me like as if to say, is that really mission? Like, but in doing so and bringing unsaved people into people where there are other saved people, it opens up conversation. That's beautiful. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. Moving over to our lovely friends and family, part of our church family here, Phil and Barb Caruana, you guys are incredible. We've celebrated your life multiple times in multiple spaces of just the life you've lived on mission. We're so grateful for you. We reap the fruits and the benefits of that through your daughter Jess and your son Paul here on the ground. Just incredible as what you've achieved as a family together. But maybe you could share a little bit. You went on a missions trip into Sri Lanka, but you constantly live on mission. It's not about doing the mission field or going on the missions trip for you. Could you talk a little bit about maybe your business and some of the testimonies that have come out of that and how the Lord's spoken to you about that and how he set you up?
I got saved on the street. And it's always been in my heart to... somehow I've got to be reaching out to someone. And I know that if I'm out there, I'm going to see things happen. But if I'm at home, I'm just going to get stirred up and go to sleep. Or if I'm stirred up so much, I won't sleep. But if I go out, I'm going to see something happen. So once I got saved at 25, I've always gone out on the street. So... when Paul was born, we started a new business. I used to work in a factory, but now we have a gardening business. And so every job we go to, I often ask, how are you going? I ask my customers how they are. And they might say, I've got a sore back this week, or I've got this problem, or I've got that problem. I say, can I pray for you? Sometimes they say, no. But I just keep at it. After a few months of visits, because we visit once a month, I just keep asking, oh, sure, you can pray for me. I had one lady just refuse many, many times. And then finally she gave in and let me pray for her. And the way I share the gospel, I want to display the gospel and then tell them the kingdom of God is here. So I'll just give you a quick story. We go to this house and we do their lawn. We regularly go to this house. And one day I see the husband of the home is home. And I'm wondering, how come you're not at work? Anyway, so I started talking to the husband and asked him why he wasn't at work. And he said, look, I've got this brain condition and the doctors have given me no hope. The doctor says, basically, I'm going to lose all function and die. And so I said, can I pray for you? So I prayed for him, did my best prayer, didn't see anything amazing happen. But I shared other testimonies with him, and his eyes just lit up. And he was just like so excited And every time I'd go, he'd say, tell me some more stories, Phil. And so I'd tell him some more stories, and he just was so excited. He went and told his brother-in-law, his sister, and we started a Bible study. And I'd go over there and we'd pray for him every time we go, we'd pray for him. And he's slowly losing function. But he'd always want to hear stories, and his wife said to me, you're the only people that give us hope. And so I'd get him in the backyard, I'd pull him out of his wheelchair and trying to run him around his backyard. I'm just going for it because I know it's God's will. But, you know, it just got to the point. He got saved. His brother-in-law got saved. His sister got saved. We baptized them in the swimming pool. And, it's just amazing that God, if we're just obedient and just step out and speak to people, God will move. And I've seen incredible miracles, but God touches the heart first. You know, and if we can break through the mindsets and touch them with the power of God, we see change.
Yeah. Right. So good. And Bob, obviously raising a family and having young kids and being on mission, could you just share a little bit about what that looks like for you guys as a family? And you as a mum.
Yeah. It looked like praying together and having, you talk about having hospitality. We like to have visiting ministries stay with us in our home so the kids would get to know, evangelists and whoever was on mission at our church. Our family church before this was very much a missions church, so we got to go on quite a few mission trips. It was a thrill to be able to take our children with us on those mission trips at some point so that they could not only hear our great stories, but go and be part of them as well. But another thing that, we were able to do is we'd go to the shops often, we'd pray sometimes before we went, and we'd treat it as a treasure hunt. So, okay, God, give us a vision of someone we're going to see in the supermarket or wherever. And, that made it exciting because then we'll see the lady with the red jumper and go and pray for her and say, God showed me that I was going to meet you today. And so just bringing the children along with us and, in everyday things.
And kids are never too young, right?
Yep.
Never too young.
Yeah, we had our eldest daughter knew the scriptures and we'd be walking around the supermarket and she'd call out a scripture, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world."
Train a child in the ways of the Lord and they shall not depart. Amen. So good. Thank you. And now just to Amy. Amy, you are an exceptional young woman and we've loved having you as a part of our congregation. It's been a joy to get to know you and we've seen you grow and develop in this space of mission. I remember going out in the streets with you for the first time and like some of the fun things that we've seen and then watching you head off to Sri Lanka. And that was a big part of the journey for you on the power of prayer. Could you maybe just speak to us a little bit about the way that changed the way you pray and your everyday expectation for being on mission?
Yeah. So one of the biggest lessons that the Lord taught me when I was in Sri Lanka was that I don't need to necessarily feel anointed to know that He has anointed me. I think it's very easy for myself, and I'm sure other people are included in this, for us to rely on our feelings sometimes, and particularly when we step out to maybe minister to people or to evangelize, whatever it may look like. I know that sometimes it has been a bit of a bold step for me because I'm like, oh my gosh, Lord, I feel nothing right now. Are you even moving? And when we were in Sri Lanka, we went to a rural church and we got to pray for a bunch of people who needed healing. And same thing happened there. I was like, not necessarily feeling like the tangible presence of the Lord or anything like that. And I was going around praying for people and I was like, Lord, I don't know what's going on right now. I can't feel anything. And the people out there also didn't speak English. So when I was praying for people, I had no idea if they were getting healed or not. But I was just a obedient, stepped out, kept praying for people, and like Paul mentioned in the video, like so many people in that church got healed, and the Lord, yeah, moved really powerfully. And so I'd say how that's transferred into my prayer life now, it's just, yeah, not relying on my feelings and not relying on how I feel to step out in faith and to know that the Lord will still move and that he's greater than my feelings and how I'm feeling at the time. And so even, you know, when I'm praying in the secret place or I step out to pray for someone in the street, whatever it may look like, it's just that reminder to just be bold and to step out and know that the Lord will move because that's his heart. And I think it's like a really great thing as well, like when we're praying for our missionaries who are overseas and our partners and as well, we're not necessarily like obviously in front of them praying for them. We're praying for people who are overseas, but knowing that prayer is powerful and it does work and covering people even in our own homes, the Lord is still moving through that. So,
come on, so good. Thank you so much. So good. Hey, could you thank our panel tonight for their contribution? Thank you guys so much for being a part of our panel tonight. You know, the beautiful thing is that you've heard everything from the local neighbourhood right through to the nations, whether that's Europe, whether that's Sri Lanka, or whether that's the backyard as a part of the business that they own. There is such a difference that can be made in the spaces that we live, walk, and have our beings. Amen? And I don't know if you're familiar with some of the different things that we do here at Pneuma, but one of the things that we do as a part of our missions is we do send out teams overseas on missions. And we would love to just let you know about some of those trips that are coming up so that if you can, you can actually ask the Lord and seek the Lord and see if he wants to send you on a mission trip. But one of those trips is coming up in Thailand on the 12th to the 22nd of September. In that space, Pastor David from our Pneuma Bangkok location is going to be leading that trip, and you're going to get the opportunity to love and serve people of Thailand and of the northern parts of Thailand specifically and share the gospel with them, and it's going to be a great trip. There's another one in Cambodia that's happening in October, and this will be a group of people who will visit Phu Phet. I don't know if I said that right. Phu Phet. Look at me, my Australian accent getting it right. They're going to be ministering to kids, young adults, and youth, and they're going to be doing a local high school, some outreach, and that's going to be an amazing trip, and that's going to be led by Pastor Elvin from our Singapore location. He's got a number of great connections over there in Cambodia, and there's a great work happening there that you can be a part of. We also have a trip to Nairobi, Kenya, that is working directly with our Children's Fortress ministry over there with Ben and Irene. And that is that's a great ministry over there. However, I can tell you that trip is full. It's full. And so maybe next year. But the one after that coming up is quarter four. We have a trip going to Japan to go over into the southern parts of Japan with our partner Amy over there, who's doing an incredible job. And you can be a part of that trip. And so if you click on the QR code that's there, you can register your interest and find out more about those trips, more about the costs and the things that are attributed to that. But I just want to encourage you, whether you go to the nations or whether you go to the neighborhood that God has placed you in, we are all called to go. We're all called to go.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.